So tonight we're reading Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 15. We can chant that together. Karma, please repeat. Brahmodbhamam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavan tasmat sarvagatam Brahma, Nityam, Jagne, Pratishtitam. Karma Brahmodbhavan Vidhi. Brahmakshara Samudbhama. Tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam jagne pratishtitam kamo brahmod bhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhava Tasmat sarvagatam brahma Nityam jagne pratishtitam. Please chant. Shara Samudbhama Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma Kamam Brahmo Bhavam Vidhi Ramakshara Samudham Tasmat Sarvam Ladies. Brahma, from Vedas Udbhavam produced Vidhi. You should know Brahmakshara. Actually, Brahma, the Vedas, Akshara, from the Supreme Brahman, Personality of Godhead. Akshara. Samudbhavam, directly manifested. Tasmat. Therefore, Sarvagatam, all-pervading. Brahma, transcendence. Nityam, eternally. Jagne, in sacrifice. Pratishtitam, situated. Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. Purport. Yagnartha karma. This is a word from verse number 9. Yagnartha karma is found in text 9. You might want to look back there. Let's look back there for a minute. Because this is the conclusion of a section here that starts with this yagnartha karma. In verse 9 it says, work done for the sake of Vishnu, or yagya, yagnartha karma. So Prabhupada's referring back to that. Yagnartha karma, or the necessity of work for the satisfaction of Krishna only, is more expressly stated in this verse. If we have to work for the satisfaction of the yagya purush, Vishnu, then we must find out the direction of work in Brahman, or the transcendental Vedas. The Vedas are therefore codes of working directions. Anything performed without the direction of the Vedas is called vikarma, or unauthorized or sinful work. Therefore, one should always take direction from the Vedas to be saved from the reaction of work. As one has to work in ordinary life, Gesundheit, Achyuta, as one has to work in ordinary life by the direction of the state, one similarly has to work under the direction of the supreme state of the Lord. Such directions in the Vedas are directly manifested from the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said, Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etade yad rig veda yajor veda samaveda Tarvangirasaha. The four Vedas, namely the Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva Veda, are all emanations from the breathing of the great personality of Godhead. Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad. The Lord, being omnipotent, can speak by breathing air. For, as it is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, the Lord has the omnipotence to perform through each of his senses the actions of all other senses. In other words, the Lord can speak through His breathing, and He can impregnate by His eyes. In fact, it is said that He glanced over the material creation, over material nature, and thus fathered all living entities. After creating or impregnating the conditioned souls into the womb of material nature, He gave His directions in the Vedic wisdom as to how such conditioned souls can return home back to Godhead. We should always remember that the conditioned souls in material nature are all eager for material enjoyment. But the Vedic directions are so made that one can satisfy one's perverted desires, then return to Godhead, having finished his so-called enjoyment. It is a chance for the conditioned souls to attain liberation. Therefore, the conditioned souls must try to follow the process of yajna by becoming Krishna conscious. Even those who have not followed the Vedic injunctions may adopt the principles of Krishna consciousness, and that will take the place of performance of Vedic yajnas or karmas. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Te Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Charine Nirvisesha Sunya Vadi Pasya Tade Satharine Karma Brahma Babam Vidi Brahmakshara Samud Babam Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma Nityam Yagne Pratishtitam. This verse concludes a section of the chapter, and Krishna explains in this section why Arjun should act and how he should act. The idea is to sacrifice for the Supreme, sacrifice for Krishna, for Vishnu. Yagna tat karmano nyatta lokoyam karma bandhana. And what's one good reason to do that? Because otherwise you'll entangle yourself, you'll become bound by the laws of material nature. You have to act either in Maya or in Krishna consciousness. One is entangling, one leads to repeated birth and death, and the other leads to liberation. So, Krishna says to Arjuna, perform your prescribed duties. So these prescribed duties are given in the Vedas. Some duties are given for the Kshatriyas, Arjuna is a Kshatriya. Some duties are given for the Brahmins, some for the Shudras and the Vaishyas. And Krishna says this kind of action is better than inaction. Don't just, you know, think that spiritual life means sitting and doing nothing. You can't even maintain your body. The subsistence of the body to have enough money to live, to buy food and so on. You can't accomplish that without action. Just like the people in society who don't work. They don't have any money, so sometimes they get money from the government or food stamps from the government. And another advantage of working is that we can purify the propensity we have to be the Lord of the world. We want to be the master. We want to enjoy. We want, you know, the world to be centered on us. And we can purify that tendency to satisfy ourselves, to gratify ourselves, without living at the cost of others. We shouldn't be inactive and think, well, you know, if I'm a spiritual person, then people should give me japatis. I should be able to go to the householders and get a meal because I'm a renounced person. I don't work. Not like that. But we should work in our duties that we have. And at the same time, we can satisfy our senses to some extent. We can live as a grihastha and satisfy our senses, or we can live more in a more renounced way, and gradually purify this propensity to live in this world and have, you know, I and mind as the goal of life. So we tend to want to possess things. We think that if we have wealth or prestige, then we're important. Then externally people are acknowledging that I'm important. I have some money. I get some money for what I do, or some prestige. So we have to purify that tendency. And we do that by performing action that has sacrifice as its purpose. Some sacrifice for the Lord. This isn't very well known, and therefore we see that in the world everybody's acting in a way that produces bondage. They're actually degrading themselves. They're becoming animalistic. And in their next life, they run the risk of becoming animals or lower than human beings. So Arjuna is told, you know, perform action for this purpose of sacrifice and be free from attachment to this world. And Krishna explains how this was all set up at the beginning of creation. This cycle of sacrifice where Krishna creates this world and he lets the living entities flourish in this world. They can get things, get the good things of life from the world. And especially if they do sacrifice, that pleases the demigods also and Vishnu. And when the demigods are pleased, they supply the necessities of life. They provide things that give us pleasure. And Krishna explains in this section too about eating. We'll come to this next. Just right now I want to remind you that Kadambakanana Maharaj this morning was talking about this point. He said he was talking about austerity and how austerity is built in to the universe. It's one of the elements in the design of the universe. So this austerity takes the form of sacrifice to Vishnu. That's what Krishna wants everyone who's a human being to know about. But people hardly know. Nowadays they hardly know about austerity and sacrifice for the design, for the Lord. You know, they just think that life is for enjoyment. You know, Kadambakanana Maharaj mentioned that devotees kind of avoid going back to their families, you know, because the families aren't so austere. They eat meat, they have intoxicants in the house, they watch television. And, you know, they'll say to you, enjoy, you know, that's their motto, as if there's nothing but enjoyment. And they eat, they don't know what to eat. They eat abominable things. They, besides eating meat and eggs and fish, they don't offer their food to Krishna. And Krishna talks about that in this section, that wretched persons cook for their selfish motives. And When they eat, they just eat suffering, because they're going to get a reaction to that eating. So they're increasing their suffering, Prabhupada says, with each mouthful. But persons who eat the remnants of food offered to the Lord are freed from these faults. Then Krishna explains where food comes from. Where does food come from? What does he say here? From rain. And where does rain come from? From yajna, from sacrifices. In other words, the demigods will supply the necessities of life, rain and sunshine, for growing the food. And sacrifice depends on action. It's not based on inaction. We should do something in a sacrificial way for the Lord. And then we come to this verse, that action arises from the Vedas. We get directions in the Vedas how to act. Srila Prabhupada compared the Vedas sometimes to a book of directions that comes along with something like a electrical device, like this microphone. If you buy the microphone, you'll get a little booklet explaining, you know, how to plug it in and how to maintain it. So the Vedas give us directions, and they're equated here. They're equated or said to be equal to Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akshara. Akshara means sometimes it means imperishable. In other words, never becomes dead. Like food, sometimes you get food and it says, this is perishable, keep it in your refrigerator. But Brahman is imperishable, it never decays or deteriorates. And sometimes this word akshara means the sacred syllable. This is the most prominent utterance in Vedic mantras. So from this sacred syllable arise various directions. By the Lord, by his breathing, he can speak other directions regarding how we should act. So the Vedas arise from this imperishable Lord through his breathing. And Brahman, which is imperishable and eternal, is said to be all-pervading. It pervades everything. Because everything comes from the spiritual source. Janmadyasya yatanvayad. Srimad Bhagavatam starts out saying that this universe arises from the Supreme, and it's maintained by the Supreme. And it's when it's destroyed, it's absorbed back into the Supreme. So Brahman is all pervading. And this Brahman is established in sacrifice. The all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. Yajna pratishtitam. So if we want to find Krishna, then we have to perform some acts of sacrifice. And of course, you know, there's different types. Prabhupada was lecturing on some of these verses, and he mentions different types of sacrifice. In the Vishnu Purana, there's a verse. Varnashramacharabhata purushena para pumam. That means that the purpose of the Varnashram is to satisfy Vishnu. And then we have a verse about Sankirtan being a yagya. Yagnai sankirtana prayar yajantihi sumedasah. So Narayan or Bhagavan, they're satisfied by sacrifice. Prahlad Maharaj was talking about this too in Srimad Bhagavatam. He said that Nate Vidu Svartakatim hi Vishnu Durasayaya Bahiratamanina. People don't know that the aim of life is to satisfy Vishnu. Prahlad taught this. Prahlad Maharaj. Lord Shiva also, when he instructed Parvati, he said that Aradhanam Aradhananam Savesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Of all different types of worship, the worship of Vishnu is topmost. And even higher than that is the worship of the Lord's devotee. So human life is meant for worshiping Vishnu. And the Krishna Consciousness Movement is teaching this all over the world. This was Srila Prabhupada's great accomplishment, that he set up an institution to teach. The members of the institution teach all over the world that we should satisfy Vishnu. And if we give that up, if we don't satisfy Vishnu, then we're implicated in the results of our activities. When he was speaking this lecture, he was in a place in India. And he says, when I was coming to your village, I saw that there are so many agricultural fields. Are you following me? Where was Prabhupada? Yeah, you missed this. Now you're going to miss... Here's the anecdote. I'm reading an anecdote about Prabhupada. Prabhupada was lecturing in India on this, and he says, when I was coming to your village, I saw there were so many agricultural fields producing so much tobacco. So what are you going to do with this tobacco? You can't eat it. You're going to sell it to get a little money. But Krishna has not said that you should produce tobacco. And in fact, he says, this is prohibited. It's intoxication. So it's against the Vedas. But the people are thinking, you know, oh, we'll get some money. And they don't take into account that this is against the direction of the Vedas. But Prabhupada is very intelligent. So he points out that this is forbidden activity. And unless you follow these injunctions, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no animal killing, and no gambling, then you don't really get the benefit of human life. You don't really get close to the satisfaction of Vishnu, and then you miss. You don't get the full benefit of human life. So he tells him, don't waste your time by producing tobacco. Produce more food grains. Is this understandable? Prabhupada talked about it in other lectures too. Even in New York, when he started to preach, he was describing the principles that satisfying Vishnu will give us the full benefit of human life. And he gives analogies, you know, like watering the root of a tree. that satisfies the tree. The tree drinks through its roots, and so it nourishes. It's being nourished by the water, and it's producing the leaves, the twigs, the flower, the fruit. Everything is produced by watering the roots. So Vishnu is the root. Vishnu is the source of everything. So if you satisfy Vishnu, you get everything. That's a verse. That's from a verse in the Bhagavatam. The very first lecture I heard about Krishna consciousness. This was on this verse, to water the root of the tree, and I was very impressed. You know, that Vishnu is such an active element within the universe that if you satisfy Vishnu, you're actually going to take care of everything in the universe. Vishnu is all-pervading, and sacrifice to Vishnu will result in all beneficial things in life. And this was very persuasive to me when I heard it. What's the other, another common analogy Prabhupada gives devotees? And then? Yes, if you provide food to the mouth and the stomach, the whole body will be nourished. Not that you put the food in your ear. Yeah. That's compared to demigod worship. You know, you put the food in some opening that's not meant for the food. Okay. Questions? Have you been here the whole time? When did you come in? I didn't see you. Have you been here for the lecture? Oh, you just came in now. Oh, I didn't. You're here to perform kirtan. All right. Okay. Did you enter through the altar? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. More kirtaniers are coming. Sandesh. Manoj. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.